All right, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of Podcastica. My name is John, and rejoining the show this week is my good friend Ernesto. Ernesto, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am doing quite well.
Sweet.
I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Yeah, a lot better. So it was pretty brutal last week, so I'm feeling a lot better.
Well, good.
Ready to talk some Who. And my little mute light is on. Is that supposed to?
Is it seriously on?
Yeah, but you heard me just a minute ago.
Oh, is it blinking?
No.
Then you're fine.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so we watched Listen, which was written by Stephen Moffat and directed by Douglas MacKinnon. And he also directed The Power of Three, The Cold War, and two other episodes that he will be doing this season. I feel like this is going to be a crazy episode.
Yeah, this episode was not very good. So we're going to have to, we're going to delve into it, why we, you know,
yes,
found it rather odd at certain points.
First thing is first is I disliked the open.
Yeah, there's
it seemed very weird.
A little too whimsy for my liking. Like, and that doctor especially is not whimsy, where he's like, oh, I'm talking to myself and blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
yeah,
no.
It just seemed very out of. You don't get a lot of the doctor by himself talking to himself in a monologue kind of form.
Right. It seemed he's either talking to himself, but he's kind of conveying it over to a companion.
Yes.
Is what he's doing. And here it just seems like he's playing towards the audience, which makes zero sense to me.
Yeah. So the open, and then where Clara's in her apartment and she's upset.
Wait. First, let's talk about, like, he's talking in his opening segment. He's talking about how there's sometimes you feel someone around you and they're not really there. And if they weren't there, what would you do? And then something writes on the board, listen.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And so you're like, oh no, this is going to be the creature of the week. Some kind of like hidden monster. And I'm already feeling like, uh-oh, because if it is a hidden monster, he's doing a shitty job if we're going to spend an hour watching
a
show about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead. We go and we find Clara and Danny.
They're on their first date. It's awkward as usual. The army comes up and Danny gets angry. Well, now, he gets angry for a very good reason.
Yeah. Something that Clara generally isn't like known for. She says something really stupid. And what it is like, he goes, oh, yeah, this girl was making fun of me in class. Clara's saying about some other girl. And he goes, yeah, and we shot it, and I shot it down. And she's like, oh, well, you're probably used to shooting people down or something like that.
She says, some days I could kill her.
Oh, right.
And Danny says, yeah, me too. And she says, well, that probably isn't – that's really big coming from you.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Like,
makes absolutely no sense at all, because Clara, for the most part, and we'll get into this later, I was really, you know, I have always liked Clara, and to a point, I think she's really good for the doctor, but this episode kind of just crapped all over that.
Yeah, absolutely. They made her, like, I agree with you. This episode makes you dislike her at all.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. You know, they make her the monster pretty much in this episode.
Exactly.
So they get all pissed off with each other, pissy.
Yeah.
She storms out of the place when she had no reason to storm out, because she was the idiot that, like, said something wrong.
Very out of character.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she ends up going home, and the doctor's there in her room.
Yeah, and he says that he needs her for a thing. And the first question I have is, are we driving home the point that the doctor doesn't find Clara attractive? Is that going too overboard now? Because it almost feels to the point where he's insulting her just for insulting her. So we get the point that, oh, they're not going to, like, kiss or something.
I guess so. I mean, it seems like
Every episode
is making fun of how ugly she is, even though Clara isn't.
Yes.
And I guess it's a funny thing, but it is becoming kind of a one-trick pony joke.
Yeah. Like, in the first episode, he goes, Clara, I'm not your boyfriend. That was my fault. And that would have been good enough. You don't have to, like, be putting her down every chance you get.
Yeah, it seems a little off and weird for that. So she ends up going with him.
Yeah.
She tells her that...
Well, basically what happens is he questions about the constant companion, and he uses the example of the dream that everyone has.
That's right.
They think they're asleep, but they're... Or they awake in the dream, they try to get out of bed, and something grabs their foot from under the bed.
Right.
And Clara's like, that's ridiculous. And he's like, tell me you've had that dream. And she's like, I mean, I probably have.
Yeah.
And he says to her, let's use... Which I thought was a cool new thing, was the TARDIS telepathic interface. Yeah. I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
So he says... Let's travel back to your childhood. Just think of your childhood and we'll travel back there.
Right.
But her phone rings and she thinks that it's Danny, and that disrupts her concentration.
Right. And sends them essentially to Danny's timeline.
Yes. I did like that when...
Which makes no sense either because... Well,
yeah, it doesn't. But I did like when the doctor was like, no, don't get distracted. Took her phone and just chucked it.
Yeah. But that's saying that Clara, she thought about Danny, and so the TARDIS sent Clara and the Doctor to Danny's timeline when he was a child, but Clara knew nothing about his timeline. Like,
yeah, she knows that the only thing we know is like that he was a soldier. He was in the army. That's really all we know, and that's really all she knows.
Right.
That, you know, they went on one date.
Right.
So half a date, whatever.
Right.
They end up in like the mid-90s. Clara says she's never been. Oh, they're outside a children's home.
Yeah.
And Clara's like, I've never been here. And he's like, ah, your brain's super small. Human brains are small. You probably forgot.
Right.
Clara's like, wouldn't it not be good for me to meet my past self? And the doctor's like, yes, that could be potentially catastrophic. You should probably go wait in the TARDIS.
Right.
Which is, I like that this doctor almost all the way thinks things through and then goes, oh, you're right. That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
So the doctor tells her to go back to the TARDIS, and she sees a boy like up on the top floor, and he's like looking out the window.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it's Rupert Pink, who is actually Danny.
Yeah.
Because he thinks his name's stupid.
Yeah. So he changes his name.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I'm sorry. So the doctor goes into the orphanage.
Yeah.
And he runs into the night keeper, and he tells the night keeper, hey, have you noticed some weird stuff? You know, maybe your TV turning off randomly or coffee missing and such. And he's like, yeah, you know. And at that time, Clara decides to go up to see Danny.
Yes.
For what reason? Doesn't really make sense either.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just to set him at ease because he wasn't sleeping at whatever time it was. I don't know.
I guess it just seems very... Yeah, the whole reason for her to go up there makes no sense. She goes up there. She tells him, oh, you know, what are you... why are you sitting on the floor? You know, where's your chair? Can I sit in your chair? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, why are you sitting on... Where do you sit when someone visits? He's like, generally on the bed. And he's like, well, why aren't you on the bed? And he's like, because there's something under the bed.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? And so she goes to look, and there's nothing under the bed, and they end up getting into the bed, under the bed together, and they're like, look, there's nothing under here. And then you hear something, like, get onto the bed.
Yes.
Then she, like, gets out, and they see this, like...
figure underneath blankets, which we'll get to the this figure whole thing at the end. It makes no sense after everything is revealed.
Right. So they're like, oh, my God, and the doctor's like, hey, you know, what... What does he say there?
He's like, where's Wally in this book?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like Wally's not. Yeah, Wally's not in every book. And he goes, I've wasted years of my life.
Yeah, he's like, are you sure? You haven't looked that deep into it.
I must say, I did like how the figure underneath the blankets was filmed with the lens flare. So it was almost like there was something distracting you from looking at the main thing, which was the entire point of this quote-unquote monster, which we'll get to.
Like the monster, okay, we're gonna spoil it right now. The monster's never revealed. It never shows why the monster is there. Like, it completely abandons what that whole premise of the monster on the table.
Exactly.
It's just it was so crazy. Like, it just didn't pay off ever.
So they're all standing and looking outside the window because they're not going to look at the monster. I thought this whole let's just get one thing out of the way. Capaldi's still on point. Great doctor.
Oh yeah, for sure.
His speech to Rupert about being scared was amazing. I thought it was really well done. I thought that whole scene was very good,
right?
Even though later on we find out it makes no sense at all.
Right.
They don't look at it. The monster leaves. It basically... Clara gets those toy soldiers and puts them under his bed.
Right.
She says they'll protect you. And then she gives him one soldier that doesn't... It's broken because it looks like it at one point had a gun, but it's broken.
Right.
And she says that that one's the leader because it is so... It's such a good soldier, it doesn't need a gun.
Right.
And during that whole part, it's like everything else is blurry except for the doctor in the background.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So it's basically like, oh...
Yeah, we're talking about the doctor here. Yeah.
So
he calls him Dan the Soldier Man, the little boy.
Yes.
Apparently he's aspiring to be, you know, a great soldier or something.
And at that point, the doctor puts him to sleep.
Right.
And references, he says something about dad skills, which is just a callback because he used to have children and all that good stuff.
Ah, okay.
So I thought that was funny. And oh, who's under the sheets? In all caps, mind you. This is my question. We don't know.
Yeah, they never let us know.
They never let you know, and we'll get to that. Clara feels guilty. She asks the doctor to bring her back to the restaurant, and Danny's still face down in the check.
Right.
And she, during this exchange, calls him Rupert.
Right. And because apparently Clara's a big dumb idiot, like, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And he's like, how'd you know my name? How do you know that name? He's like, oh, someone at school told me. And he's like, nah, I haven't used that name in forever. Are you making fun of me or something?
Yeah.
And it just goes from bad to worse. Out of a sudden, this guy in a spacesuit comes out of nowhere.
Yes, which looks very like the spacesuit that Tenet wore and the one that Matt Smith wore. So it's like, oh, it's only fitting that
the doctor
would wear this suit as well.
Yeah, so Clara goes with the Danny leaves pissed off. Clara goes with the guy in the suit. She's talking to him, like, hey, you know, what's the deal and blah, blah, blah. And the guy takes off the thing and it's Danny.
Yes, or we think
it's Danny. It's the same actor, but with, like, different hair.
I also love that the doctor says to her, why are you all eyes right now? And right. I love the, like, he's like, you. He says to who we think is Danny, you know she needs three mirrors, right? Like, I thought that, like, stuff like that's funny, where stuff that he doesn't think is, like, practical. Like, why do you have three mirrors?
Right, why don't you just turn your head? Yeah.
I think stuff like that's funny, but where it's like, oh, you're gross.
Right.
And stuff like that is like, it's just weird.
No,
we find out that the doctor, the guy isn't Danny. It's Orson Pink.
Yeah.
And he is one of Earth's first time travelers.
So he's Danny's.
Well, he's from 100 years in Clara's future.
Yeah.
So he's from like.
Well, he says my grandfather used to tell me, my great grandfather used to tell me these crazy stories.
Yeah.
So, about a woman and stuff like that. Because he immediately recognizes, feels like he knows Clara.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't go like, I think I know, but you can tell he totally.
Right.
Like, he gives, like, when she brings him into the TARDIS, because the doctor wants to stay overnight to check out what's going on. And she picks up his bag and then drops it, and then the soldier comes out. The soldier man comes out, and she says it's a family heirloom, and she talks about time traveling, and he says, oh, it runs in the family.
Right.
So basically it suggests that Danny and Clara get married and are Orson's great-grandparents, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's a fine whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it still doesn't make sense how he got or how they got into his timeline.
Yeah.
Because he's not really part of her, you know, wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah. Another thing we encounter is that when they head back to where they were, they're at the end of time. Like,
yes.
And he's telling him that Danny got stuck there. Or Orson or whatever his
name. Orson got stuck there.
He's been there for 6 months and he wants to get out.
Yeah.
But the doctor wants to see something and he wants to figure out what it is, you know.
Yes.
And so Orson's like, I can't stay here one more night, so I'm going to sleep in the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor stays there in the little like chamber thing.
Yeah.
And then it's revealed that Orson was actually a time traveler that was going into the future.
Yeah.
And got stuck there. And so he's trying to get back home.
Yes.
And the doctor's like, I can do that for you. Just the TARDIS needs to recharge.
Which is total. Yeah. It's total crap. So. Yeah.
And so he's sitting there and he's like, why are we here, Stone? He's like, because I want to see what that is. You know, what? How do you know something's not coming? And he's like, well, you told me it's the end of the world. There's no one left. He's like, well, you know, that's you're looking in the sense of living, but there's probably millions of ghosts out there and yeah. such. And so you start hearing like rat like banging on the wall,
and then like a thing too.
And so you're like, oh, we're gonna see another monster, right? And then Clara is like, she's like, okay, you found out if something was here. Let's get the hell out of here.
And he's like, no, I have to see it for myself.
Yeah, she's like.
And he just tells her, you need to go in the TARDIS now. And she calls him an idiot.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. And then and then the doctor, like, pulls out his screwdriver, opens the door,
mm-hmm.
and it's unlocking itself.
Yeah.
And he turns to her, pissed, and he goes, get inside now. Do as you're told.
Do as you're told. And she calls him an idiot.
Right. Yeah. So she goes into the TARDIS, and they're, like, watching through the monitors, and the door's open, and the doctor's, like, being sucked out of the door or something. Something's happening.
And the monitor is going all crazy.
Right. So Orson...
Yeah, he goes out and gets him.
Orson goes out and gets him. We never see what the monster is.
Yeah, what was outside the spaceship? We don't know.
No, we never find out. So she decides that they're going to get... The doctor is knocked out, unconscious.
Yes.
So Clara decides that they're going to get them out of there.
Yes.
in her, like, idea of, like, confusion and fear, she's thinking about the doctor and ends up taking him to...
So...
a barn in the middle of a place you do not know.
So she gets out of the TARDIS. It's an unknown location. There's a child in a bed crying under the covers.
And you think that it's another maybe pink.
You think it's another pink. She approaches the child, but two people come in and she has to hide under the bed.
Right.
And there's this whole conversation about why won't he come in and sleep with the other boys? So they make it seem like it's an orphanage, which kind of is, I guess. But and then one of them says he'll never be a good Time Lord, and then.
He goes, oh, yeah, she's like, well, if he's going to go to Academy, and he's like, if he goes to Academy, he'll never be a Time Lord.
Yes.
And so, essentially, he's not pink.
It's the Doctor.
Right, which threw me for such a friggin' loop.
Yes.
Because, one, Gallifrey is supposed to be time-locked, right? Yeah,
it's supposed to be time-locked, not even we know it's back in play.
Right.
Like, there is a Gallifrey still. The Doctor is... I guess trying to get to it. He's really hasn't acknowledged that this season.
Right.
Mainly, you know, because regeneration, trying to do that whole thing, whatever. It's time locked. The Doctor cannot even time travel there. Yet somehow, Clara is able to get there, which makes absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah. Not only that, but Clara makes him the man that he is.
Yes.
Like, he hears her voice. Or he hears the doctor yelling, and so he wakes up and goes, who's there? And he gets out of the bed to go check, and Clara grabs his leg.
Yeah, and then realizes that, oh, she was the thing that was under his bed.
Right. It's so wacky. You know, it made no sense to me. I thought that it was still pink when he said a Time Lord. So I thought pink was going to be a Time Lord.
That would have been,
crazy.
Yes.
But the end made sense and didn't almost ruin the entire mythos of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Because essentially, like the general, like that one dude said, the review that you sent.
Yeah. I'll post that in our Facebook.
He's, Stephen Moffat took years of mythos of Doctor Who and his creation. Like, his creation of Clara is the reason Doctor Who exists.
Yes.
Because he made the Doctor brave and bold. And
yes, used fear as a weapon. If you don't need a weapon to be a good soldier, and in big bold in my notes, basically creates who the Doctor will be for the rest of his days.
Which makes no sense. You know what I mean? I understand her, like, being thrown in, like, in the last season, her being thrown into the time vortex,
his entire thing, yeah, saving him, yes.
Yes, that's fine. But don't go to the root of his life.
Yes.
And make him the man who he is.
Yes.
Because it's not about Clara making him who he is. It was about his experiences. Especially when you see Eccleston in the first season, in the first episode, talking to Rose about his planet, and he's still distraught about it.
Yes.
And all the things that he had to do. You know what I mean? It's just like, it just made no sense. Like,
so the guy, Paul Verhoeven, great YouTube channel. He's got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
He also pointed out, wouldn't it have been better if the Doctor was under his own bed and he used his own, he basically made his own destiny to be who he is? That would have been awesome.
Yeah, not Clara.
So the other question I have is, because she leaves and we get the little callback that he'll go to the barn and we see the war doctor walking to the barn and he's all scared or whatever.
Right.
And she leaves the Dan the Soldier Man figure with the Doctor.
Yeah.
So wouldn't immediately, when the Doctor sees that toy in that room, wouldn't he go, wait, what? That's the toy.
Right.
But no, he just doesn't remember the most important thing that was part of
life,
a dream.
That changed his life, yeah. It was so made no sense.
And then she Clara's like, you'll never, promise me you'll never come back here. And he's like, all right, sure. So, and I want to read this from the Wikipedia page, because what I do is I watch the episode and I'll copy paste the Wikipedia thing, and then I'll just make notes from that.
So
this is directly from the Wikipedia page. Returning Clara to Earth and Orson to his original time period, the Doctor decides there's no such creature under the bed, and Rupert Pink's quote-unquote monster was in fact another child at the children's home scaring him. Now my question to you is, when in the world did that happen in the episode?
That's just made up.
Because it never happened.
No. And I'm sorry, is it some kind of like albino kid that was like in there? Like, it didn't look like a kid, that's for sure.
So Clara goes back to Danny's home and she's like, he's like, I don't know what I'm afraid of. And she's like, I'll show you. And then they kiss.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
You know, was I so angry I didn't even do notes for next week?
Next week is like at a bank.
Yeah, it's a bank robbery thing, but we'll get to that in a minute. So there are some more questions that I have.
Okay.
What did you think of Clara during this episode? I feel like we went over that, but the other thing I put some little notes there is the whole thing about Danny. Just, she knows he's a war veteran. Why would you be like, oh, killing comes easy to you?
Right.
You're a murderer. All you do is murder.
Right. It's.
And then get mad when he gets defensive about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Clara is like a big dumb idiot in this one. And it sucks because Clara is supposed to be empowering, you know?
Yes.
I almost felt like there was a Donna sense to her. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
And so, like, all of a sudden, she's just putting her foot in her mouth and doing all this stuff, and it's not. You know, it's obviously Stephen Moffat's fault. Like, he's writing it terribly, you know? So, I didn't really enjoy Clara in this episode.
And why is she constantly lying to the Doctor about Danny? He's always like, do you know this person? Do you know this person? Does this person look familiar?
Yeah.
And she's just like, no.
Yeah, why not go, yeah, that's the guy I've been dating.
Like, and it's almost like the Doctor knows, and he's saying, why don't you be truthful with me?
Right.
I already know because, hello, the Doctor.
Right.
So, And we already went over, wouldn't it have meant more if the doctor was under his own bed? Yes, it would have been awesome. That would have made the episode. Okay, so I didn't overall hate the episode.
I hated
multiple parts of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was shot very well. I liked it. I liked how it looked, but this is just some. This changes everything.
Right.
It makes Clara the most important person in a show called Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah, essentially. So they just call it Clara now.
I mean, I'd be no, I wouldn't be fine with that. So next week's episode is called Time Heist.
Okay.
And it was written by Stephen Thompson and Stephen Moffat.
Oh boy.
So here we go. No, it was directed by Douglas MacKinnon, who directed this episode as well. And basically, it just looks like a good old bank robbery heist movie. Nice. Even though it's not a movie, it's a show anyway. And then apparently, some of the media coverage, there's a new monster, and they were called, like, the media was calling it the strangest monster yet.
Okay.
So that's interesting.
Is it Clara?
Clara is... Yes. She's like, I don't know. I'm a monster now. That was my Clara impression.
That was a pretty good one.
I got to work on it.
Yeah.
So you can follow us on Twitter at ThePodcastica, and you can follow me personally on Twitter at Team Hate.
You can follow me, Ernesto, at NestoPesto on Twitter.
You can follow the entire Night of the Living Geeks Network at the NOTLG. You can also like the NOTLG on Facebook. It's facebook.com/the NOTLG. And you can like the Podcastica's brand new Facebook page as well. Facebook.com/thePodcastica. And shout out to Devin. Go check out NOTLG.com. New design. Looks great. I really like it.
Yep.
So that's it. If you want to leave us any comments in our Facebook page about this week's episode, we would enjoy that immensely. So we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Night of the Living Geeks.